This year, Americans will fill out the 2020 census.
But if you're in prison in Pennsylvania, you get counted where you're serving your sentence, not in the place where you're from.
That has huge consequences for federal funding and representation for communities.
The census is used to determine the maps for state representatives in Harrisburg and congressional representatives in Washington.
It's thought that Pennsylvania may lose a seat in Congress after the coming census, and communities are going to be wanting to have all of their people counted in the right place.
Now, advocates are pushing back, trying to get folks counted in the communities they call home.
Today, we're going to bring you our original episode on what's come to be known as prison gerrymandering.
And later, we'll tell you about the new effort to get it changed. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why.
Jonathan Lai is a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
So, Jonathan, we've been hearing about gerrymandering in the news for a while now. And when we talk about gerrymandering, we're talking about shifting the lines around in order to gain some kind of political advantage. What is prison gerrymandering? What does this specific term mean?
Right. So in gerrymandering, you're trying to shift people from one party or another into a different area, right? The difference with prison gerrymandering is that you're not talking about a specific political party. You're looking at where prisoners are counted when it comes time for the 2020 census and how you draw the political maps around that. There's been a lot of research about prison gerrymandering recently, and earlier this year, Villanova University professors Brianna Remster.
I'm the sociologist that studies the criminal justice system and how that reproduces inequalities.
And Rory Kramer.
I'm a sociologist who focuses on racial inequalities in whatever system they're produced.
Actually studied Pennsylvania specifically, and they found that if you counted prisoners in their home districts rather than in the prisons where they currently are at the time of the census,
in all likelihood, Philadelphia as a whole city would have at least one more district.
Philadelphia would have more representation in Harrisburg.
And considering how much Philadelphia asks of the state and how much the state does or does not provide of Philadelphia, that one more person could matter a lot.
So let's back up a little bit, Jonathan. How are these maps drawn to begin with? Are they based on census counts?
Yeah, absolutely. You've heard of one person, one vote.
Yeah.
So basically, every 10 years, the United States Census Bureau conducts a census and it tries to count every single person in the United States. After that, every state has to go and draw its political maps.
Okay.
In order to have an effective democracy that's based on equality, we need to know how many people live where and divide that up to be proportionate.
And what one person, one vote means is that every political map is supposed to have every district be the same exact population.
It's roughly like 62,000 is the average, but we're going to go with 60 because that's so much easier.
And that makes sense if you say every lawmaker should have the same number of constituents.
Right.
They should be responding to the same number of people. It wouldn't be fair if I have twice as many people to respond to as you do,
mm-hmm.
right?
So, Jonathan, the politicians representing the district the prisoners are in, are the prisoners their constituents?
Technically, yes. But in practice, lawmakers and people who are in prison tell me that's not the case.
Representatives with prisons or jails in their districts do not think of the people in those facilities as their constituency. So in order to say to the government, I would like this from you, this is what my community needs, this is what I care about, you need someone in the government who would actually listen to that. If I don't think you're my constituent as a representative, I'm not going to listen.
I spoke with one formerly incarcerated person.
My name is Ati Bukwesi, and I am the co-chair, along with Madeline Dunn, of the West Philly Voting Bloc. I served 27 years in three different states.
And he says that when he was in prison, he didn't know who the theoretical lawmaker was. He didn't reach out to that person.
As far as they're concerned, we don't exist for them because we can't vote. If you're in a state institution, you don't have any voting rights.
He would reach out to the lawmakers from back in Philadelphia.
You're somebody like myself, and I'm fighting to get out of prison. I'm claiming that I'm innocent, and I'm fighting to get out of prison. And there are certain laws that are on that people are supporting and trying to get passed that may assist me. I would advocate first by writing letters to the legislators.
If someone is incarcerated and they need to get in touch with the political process for whatever reason, they're worried about their son or their daughter and their schooling. They're worried about the environment in their home community that they're going to go home to in a couple months or whatever the case may be. They don't have that access. They have to rely on family back home to provide that access. That is requiring more work by the family of the incarcerated individual. It's a collateral effect of incarceration that simply just doesn't have to be.
How is this issue affected differently across race? We're talking about, if we're talking about people mostly coming from cities, I would think we're talking about more minorities perhaps who are being counted in places where they, you know, didn't vote for the representative.
Right. Philadelphia, it's a majority minority city. And so even if you try to look at this without looking at race, if you just say, well, Philadelphians are being overrepresented in prisons in rural areas, that means people of color are being overrepresented in whiter rural areas. That comes back to all sorts of issues, including the nature of mass incarceration and where prisons are built and where the people who are in those prisons come from.
Without mass incarceration, this is a smaller issue. I think it, morally and theoretically, it is an important issue to think about how are we representing every single person in the nation, because that's what a democracy is. We've gone to 2.2 million people incarcerated in some form or another in the country. In Pennsylvania, there are 60,000 people, roughly, in state prisons.
Okay, just to push back on that a little bit, if someone's in prison in Forest County, for example, northwest part of the state, really far from Philadelphia, doesn't that mean they wouldn't really be represented in Philadelphia either? Like, what's the argument they should be counted in the place where they're originally from, not the place where they are?
Counting prisoners as residents of the often rural legislative districts where they're incarcerated advantages someone else. And it advantages residents of those districts and at the same time takes away or disadvantages their home district.
So much federal, state, and local funding, the political maps, there's so much that depends on the census. And the way in which you count people determines how their voices are heard. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about prison gerrymandering. We're talking about whose voices are heard, where are they heard, how are they counted.
There's a lot of money, federal money, that comes down that may not come to us because of the numbers. The numbers aren't here. The numbers are up in Fayette or in Allegheny County somewhere, you know, one of those places.
And so that's part of the argument, is to say if we actually equitably distribute where people are counted and we count people in prison in their home districts, that might make it easier for them to be properly represented by their lawmakers.
Jonathan, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Jonathan, for coming.
Thanks for having me.
As we mentioned at the beginning of today's episode, advocates are now pushing for a change in Pennsylvania. We'll have more on that in a minute.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I recently spoke with WHYY reporter Aaron Mozell about a new lawsuit against the state of Pennsylvania, which is in charge of drawing legislative maps. Aaron, tell me about this announcement of this lawsuit last week.
So last week, on the fourth floor of City Hall in Philadelphia, there was a small press conference to announce this lawsuit.
Okay, good morning, members of the press. I'm Minister Rodney Muhammad, president of the Philadelphia branch of the NAACP.
There were members of the Philadelphia chapter of the NAACP. You had Kara McClellan, who's an attorney with the NAACP's Legal Defense Fund.
Today, LDF, working with the NAACP and Ballard Spahr, have filed a lawsuit in Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court.
Yes.
Challenging Pennsylvania's practice of counting imprisoned people as residents of the prison facilities where they happen to be on census day, rather than at their last known home address, where they're likely to return and maintain ties.
You also had Robert Holbrook, who is the lead plaintiff in the case. He served nearly 30 years in a state prison for murder.
And that is, as a formerly incarcerated individual for over 27 years, I was counted as a resident of a legislative district where I had no representation and was not even considered a member of that community.
So what's the legal argument here?
For as long as the census has been around, people who have been serving time in prisons have been counted as residents, electoral residents, of the counties where the prisons sit, where they're serving their sentence. And what's being argued in this lawsuit is that that is a violation of the Pennsylvania Constitution for two reasons. One, it artificially and arbitrarily, this is their language, inflates the political power
of the predominantly white communities and rural districts where most of Pennsylvania's prisons are located.
And then it sort of dilutes the counties where these men and women are originally from.
Of the largely black and Latino communities and urban districts from which most of the state's prison population originates.
Places that are largely minority communities and poorer communities. The NAACP's hope is that this is resolved before 2021, which is when the state will redraw its political maps both at the federal and local levels. And specifically, the hope is that by then, folks who are serving sentences in state prisons can be resorted based on their home counties and not where they're doing their time.
Thanks, Aaron.
You're welcome.
Aaron Mozell is a reporter for WHYY. The Y is produced by me and Annette, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, and Joel Wolfram, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Kevin McCory. Our intern is Kelly Brennan. Find me on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov. Back tomorrow.